So good morning, everyone, and thanks for hanging out and coming to see our talks on the last day and almost one of the last sessions. So I appreciate everyone being here. I'm Lauren Whetstone, and I'm from the Nutrition Policy Institute at the University of California. And I want to acknowledge my co-author, Sharon Sugarman, from the Public Health Institute, who couldn't be here this year. And I'm happy today to talk to you about measuring policy, system, and environment changes for healthy eating, physical activity, and obesity prevention in California SNAP-Ed. Sorry, I'm trying to figure out which keys are working here. Okay, and I don't have any relationships to disclose. Okay, so I have three main purposes today. I wanted to describe to you policy, system, and environment change in the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program Education, or SNAP-Ed, to briefly describe the REAIM framework, which we're using for our evaluation framework, and to present PSE change evaluation methods and results of SNAP-Ed community approaches in California. So many of you will probably know that with the passage of the Healthy Hunger-Free Kids Act, work toward policy, system, and environment change became allowable in SNAP-Ed. And as contractors to the California Department of Public Health and the Nutrition Education and Obesity Prevention Branch, evaluation staff with the Public Health Institute developed an evaluation strategy to assess and monitor PSE changes being done by local health departments, their subcontractors and partners across California, and to also encourage reflection and improvement of these strategies by local health departments. And I nicely see some of our friends from LA here today, so they helped contribute to this data that I'm going to present today. So to evaluate progress and outcomes of PSE change, I mentioned that we are using the REAIM framework. And we all know that most behavior research is focused on outcomes or effectiveness of an intervention. So for example, the effects of a program on participants. And when we think about obesity prevention, our outcomes might include things like vegetable consumption or the number of minutes of physical activity weekly. And while effectiveness of an intervention, such as these kinds of changes in behaviors and a reduction in obesity rates, are significant long-term goals of nutrition education and obesity prevention, there are other factors that we would want to consider when assessing an intervention, right? So we might think about if we're just looking for effectiveness, that may take a while to get, and it might not tell the whole story, especially when we start to think about policy, system, and environment change. So what's nice about the REAIM framework is that it includes dimensions that expand our assessment of PSEs beyond effectiveness. So they include other important factors like adoption, which is the number of settings that are willing to initiate a program or willing to adopt a program or to adopt a change. Reach, which is the number and representativeness of individuals in those settings who are willing to participate. So the number of people we reach with our interventions, with our PSE strategies. Implementation, which is the consistency of delivery. Do we deliver the program or the policy as intended? And what is the time and the cost of doing that PSE work and that implementation? And then finally, maintenance, which is the extent to which a program or a policy becomes institutionalized. Is it sustainable? Is it there for the long haul? And also maintenance, and I'm not going to talk about that today, but maintenance and REAIM as a framework also includes maintenance at the individual level. So if we do see these individual level changes, are those maintained over time? So is the program successful and in helping people to change those behaviors over time? So we selected this framework, as you can imagine from hearing the descriptions of the factors, because it captures other elements that we saw as a way of describing the success of policy, system, and environment change activities. And so for those of you who are working in PSEs, as I said before, you may see that you're not going to start to see individual level change and see effectiveness at the individual level right away in the PSE work that you're doing. Oftentimes the successes are developing a partnership or getting a school principal to get on board with the work that you want to do. So oftentimes we see these earlier changes and these earlier successes before we see changes at the individual level. So we really saw that we could start to look at, using the REAIM framework, we could start to look at these shorter term measures of success. And this framework really helps us to sort of expand what we see as success. So it's not just did we change behavior? Did we change the obesity rate? But were we able to get these things adopted and these things happen in communities in which we're working? So So I want to start out by just doing a quick definition for each of policy, system, and environment so we're thinking about it in the same way. So a policy change is a written statement of an organizational position, decision, or course of action. So when we're thinking about obesity prevention and nutrition education, we might think about a joint use agreement, for example. A formal joint use agreement between a school system and a community would be an example of a policy change. A systems change, on the other hand, is an unwritten, ongoing organizational decision or change that results in new activities reaching large proportions of people that an organization serves. So, for example, again, we might think about a food policy council that creates a farm-to-fork system that links local farmers and local markets. So creating this new system would be a systems change. And finally, an environmental change. We often just think about changes to the built environment or thinking about changes to the physical environment, but in fact, environmental change can also be changes to the economic and social environment. So, for example, a physical change might be walking trails in a community, an economic change may be lower prices for healthy items, and a social environment change may be something such as shaping attitudes among teachers about time allotted for physical activity breaks. So, in the 2013 federal fiscal year, local health departments who were contracted with the California Department of Public Health selected from among 12 PSD strategies that were identified by folks in the Nutrition Education and Obesity Prevention Branch. And these strategies were selected based on a review of recommendations from obesity prevention, expert recommendations from organizations such as the Institute of Medicine, the CDC Common Community Measures for Obesity Prevention, and some of the strategies that were recommended by the Center for Training and Research Translation at UNC Chapel Hill. And these strategies are shown here, so I'll just give you a second. I'm not going to read them all, but I'll give you a second to look at those. And they include both school-based and community-based strategies. And I wanted to talk a little bit about the evaluation tools that we created. So we created three main evaluation tools to facilitate the application of the REAIM framework to PSD change. And the tools really serve two main purposes for us. One was to create a set of common indicators that were measured across the state, and second, to identify indicators that could inform refinements in strategies and interventions. So I'm going to talk a little bit about each of those evaluation tools. So the first one were what we called indicator summary sheets. We used to call them one-pagers, but they got bigger than one page, so we had to change the name. So they really front and back, though. I think they made it to front and back. So the indicator summary sheets were created, one for each of the priority strategies that I just showed you on the slide before, and there were core indicators identified for each of the REAIM dimensions. So for reach, effectiveness, adoption, implementation, and maintenance, we identified core indicators. And we were working alongside the Western Region SNAP-Ed folks and the evaluation framework that was developed by the Western Region. And some of you may have been to the talk yesterday, the SNAP-Ed talk yesterday, where that Western Region SNAP-Ed evaluation framework was described. But we were really looking in tandem and developing our core indicators at the same time as the Western Region. And so we were really trying to find a way that we could find indicators that would be helpful to our local health departments as they did their work, but then would also align with what the Western Region was hoping to identify or identifying as ways that we can report both regionally and now, as you know, that you might, if you were there yesterday, saw that is expanding even nationally. So there would be core indicators, common indicators that we might be able to report on across the country as we begin our work in PSEs. The second thing we developed was an evaluation plan template. This was something that was not a requirement for local health departments, but was in fact just a tool that we developed to help people sort of plan and organize their PSC evaluation. It contained basically the indicators that were on the indicator summary sheet were listed in this evaluation plan. And then there was just space on the, like, kind of two columns, space in the other column for folks to write down which indicators made sense for their projects. So which indicators were they going to measure and how would they do that? So what were the methods they would use to get that information? That might include like a specific tool that they might use. It might include just who's going to do this or how are we going to collect this information. And I'll talk a little bit more about what that information is. But just a way to sort of guide the work that they would be doing during the year to prepare or to work on their PSE change. And then finally, we created a PSE evaluation reporting form and a set of instructions for those. And those were strategy-specific forms. So we had those top, those 12 strategies that I showed you earlier. There was a the form was an Access a Microsoft Access database, and basically you would click on the strategy that you were working on, and that would pull up a form that was specific to that strategy and those core indicators that were identified for that strategy. And that was a way, and this is something that's completed annually by the local health department, so this is an annual report. Okay, so I talked and gave you some generic definitions of adoption earlier, but I wanted to give you what we had as our operational definitions of these dimensions for our specific PSE project. So for us, and these align, as I said, with the Western Region framework, adoption is the number and proportion of sites at which at least one policy, system, or environment change was made, and then a description of the types of PSE changes that were adopted. And those were actually like drop-down boxes where people would select what kinds of PSE changes they made. And if they made a change that wasn't in the list, then an opportunity to write that in. Reach was defined as the number of individuals reached by PSE efforts, and we included both a total reach that we asked people to identify and a SNAP-Ed reach. So we wanted to know the extent to which we were reaching sort of the total number of people that the PSE efforts were reaching, and then the number of specifically the number of SNAP-Ed eligible folks who were reached by that PSE. Implementation is defined as the extent to which PSE activities at sites are integrated with evidence-based nutrition education, marketing and promotion, parent and community involvement, and staff training. So we really wanted to see when folks were working on these PSE changes, we didn't want that to happen in isolation, right? So high quality implementation would be not just that you're doing a PSE change here and you're doing some direct education over here, but that you're doing that work together, that you're doing the PSE changes in places where you're reaching people with direct education, actively involving the community and parents in that work, and continually training staff both on PSEs and the direct education that might be happening along with it. And then finally, or not finally, so it's going to be two more. So effectiveness was defined as the number of sites with improved food or physical activity environment assessment scores. So we were thinking in this way, we asked folks to do a needs assessment, and many of folks had already done a needs assessment and had sometimes a score for that. And then when appropriate, after the PSE changes were made, they would reassess that same environment and then see was there an increase in their food assessment scores or their physical activity environment scores. So that an increase in the score is what we would be looking for effectiveness. And now, finally, in maintenance, we define maintenance as changes in community resources that were invested in that PSE activity and that PSE change work and development of a sustainability plan. Okay, so I want to just talk a little bit about our results. The results I'm presenting for you are for federal fiscal year 2014. We just got the results from 2015, like in the last couple of weeks. And while I would have loved to have had hot off the press, that hasn't. We're just getting our database ready to start to analyze 2015. So 2014 was the first year that local health departments reported on policy, system, and environment change. So I want to talk about some very sort of early results, early in that this was, you know, new, and it was sort of like, here's what are we doing for all of us? This was new. So what are we doing? What does this look like? So 47 of the 61 agencies that received funding from the California Department of Public Health reported on PSE changes in 2014. And the local health departments reported some level of PSE activity at over 400 sites. So again, some level of PSE activity was very broad. There were some folks who had already been working on PSE changes, perhaps in other ways, and so they were further along and were able to make, adopt some changes, implement some changes, maybe even measure some changes in assessment scores. For some folks, working at some level of PSE activity meant we started talking to a school and we're hoping they're going to get on board to help us with these activities and start to make these PSE changes. So a very broad range of what those PSE activities look like. So for today, I want to specifically talk about adoption and implementation. So I'll tell you a little bit about why I'm not going to present the other dimensions, but I'm going to talk specifically about adoption and implementation. So the tables here show the number of health departments who reported on the PSE, the total number of sites in which PSE changes were adopted, or as I described, are in the planning stage, and the most frequent PSE changes that were adopted. So there's like four slides, and I'm not going to go over a lot of detail. I just wanted you to sort of orient you to what was on the slide. So the most frequently reported policy, system, and environment changes were made in healthy retail, community and school gardens, and in school wellness. A main theme from these top three PSE strategies was increasing the availability of fruits and vegetables in stores and in schools and through community and school gardens. So I'll just let you look at that for a little for a second. And adopting healthy food and beverage standards also resulted in increased availability of fruits and vegetables and changes in food purchasing. So there was just two of the changes that were associated with healthy food and beverage standards. There were four new farmers markets that were established, and acceptance of electronic benefits transfer, or EBT cards, and incentive programs were established at 15 existing farmers markets. So those were the kinds of changes that happened at farmers markets. And you can see that there was some work done around safe routes to school, including improvements in access to safe walking and biking. So those were some of the changes made there. Now, in the next slide, these are PSEs that were done by fewer local health departments. So you can see we saw like school wellness being at 12 health departments and retail at 19 health departments. Some of these, like early care and education and worksite wellness, were reported by fewer local health departments. But you can see that they were very active in the work that they were doing. So those four local health departments each were working with over 50 sites for the work that they were doing. So some health departments were engaging lots of sites in the work that they were doing. And again, recognize that this is varying levels of PSE change at this point. So just want to make sure I keep saying that. And then finally, we had a few that weren't done by very many health departments and weren't yet done in very many sites. Okay, and I know this is like the cardinal don't do this, don't say here's a slide but you can't read it, and I apologize for that. But I did just want to show it to you, not so much about the content, but just to show you a way that we summarize the data. So in that first column are all of our PSE strategies. Across the top are the domains that are a part of the Western Region Evaluation Framework. So there's eat and live and learn and work and play and shop. And you can just see by even just looking visually at the clusters that you can see just as I described, there was lots of work around community and school gardens, lots of work around healthy food and beverage standards, farmers markets, and in the learn column, quite a bit of work in schools. Okay, so I'm going to move on and talk a little bit about implementation. So remember that I said that implementation, high quality implementation for us, was defined as PSE change being done together with evidence-based nutrition education, marketing or promotion, parent community involvement, and staff training. So one of the ways that the Western Region Evaluation Framework looks at this is to look to see the proportion of settings and sites that reported PSE work and one of these components, or two or three or four of these components. And so the way that I looked at it right now was to break it down just that way. So you'll see that I don't have the specific which combinations of things people did. I'm just reporting on just in general how many components were done in combination with their PSE. So you can see the 23% did their PSE work and one of these other components, 26% the PSE plus two components, 37% the PSE and three components, and 14% the PSE and four components. Again, this is still PSE at just whatever kinds of activities were happening initially. So it may not have been an actual change yet adopted. Ultimately, in this year, when I look at the data, I'm going to specifically look to see where there was an actual change adopted and then how many of these components and which components were associated with that. This is just our early sort of quick early look at it that first year. Okay, so I just have a couple more things I want to go over. So as this work, as I said, is new for SNAP Ed, it's new for our local health departments, and it's new for the evaluation team, frankly. So it's sort of like PSE change is now allowed. Oh, now we need a new evaluation strategy. How are we going to do this? This is very different. We had very sort of systems for measuring direct education and changes as a result of direct education that have been in place for a long time, changes in measuring process evaluation in SNAP-Ed that have been in place for a long time, but this was a new way of looking at it, so sort of new for everybody. So obviously there are challenges, and there were in 2014, there are still challenges in 2015, and we hope we're ironing those out as we go along, but I just want to be upfront about it's not an easy policy system and environment change is not an easy thing to evaluate, and there are lots of things to think about. So one of the things was, an overall challenge for us is that we really developed a comprehensive reporting form, and that comprehensive reporting form had a lot of information on it, and it's not always easy to get that information in a standard, reliable, and not overly burdensome way, right? So we want to get all this information, but we certainly don't want to overburden the local health departments and have it feel like it's not information that they're able to get or report on. So that was a challenge for us. So this year, we actually took feedback from last year's report and incorporated that feedback and did some changes and tweaks to the reporting form and the sort of streamlined the reporting form, streamlined the number of measures that were required, and got feedback from some of our local health departments about those changes. In fact, Emily, who's sitting here, was one of the folks who helped us with that. So so we think that we made some good tweaks for this year. I think there's still some more we can make for next year, but we're moving in that direction. Another example of a challenge in collecting accurate data is to think about some of the dimensions. So if you guys think about reach, for example, and how you measure reach for PSE activity. Reach for programs, pretty easy. Who came to your direct ed program? That's pretty easy to get. But if we think about measuring reach for a farmer's market, or think about measuring reach for retail, think in your mind, how do I do that? Now, there are certainly methods for doing that. There are methods for farmer's markets. You have clickers and you count people. And you can do that for retail. You can get estimates from market managers or from food store managers. But it's much more labor intensive. If you're getting reach at a school, for example, you go online, you look up the school. There's methods for doing that, right? You're like, oh, here's the enrollment. Here's a percentage of kids who are free and reduced price lunch. Now I've got my total reach and I've got my SNAP-Ed reach. If we want to get SNAP-Ed reach at a farmer's market, for example, how do we do that? We can estimate in lots of ways. We can use census data to help estimate the percentage of people in that census tract that are eligible. But there are real challenges there. And so not only were there challenges sort of in reporting, but there's inherent challenges in getting some of that information. So we recognize the challenges. We're working to overcome those. We hope that some of those challenges can be overcome with technical assistance and training for local health departments. And then some of it will just be ways that we can help improve the process that will make it easier for folks to report and more meaningful. We want to make sure we're getting the most meaningful information. So to start to think about what's the most meaningful information we can get that will help us understand PSE change in SNAP-Ed in California and help the local health departments with their projects. So just in conclusion, local health departments adopted and implemented a variety of PSE changes in low-income communities. We found that the REAIM framework is useful for quantifying some elements of PSE change for evaluation, and in fact not just quantifying but in some of the qualitative responses. And as I talked about, the evaluation provided both opportunities. We're able to see the kind of work and the huge sort of depth and breadth of the work that's happening in our local health departments, even in these first few years that PSE has been allowable, but also presents some challenges that I talked about for documenting PSE work at local health departments. So I'm really excited that our 2015 data is hot off the press, and I'm almost ready to, I think, have a database when I get back to California that I can start to work in, and maybe next year I can come back and share some of our results then. So thank you very much.